America Meditating Blog Talk Radio Show. We collect wisdom, hear stories, and inspire each other. I'm Sister Jenna. Tune in live from Monday through Friday at 8 a.m.
Hi, I'm Angela Peabody of Global Woman Peace Foundation, and I listen to America's Meditating Radio Show.
The entire world watched.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And humanity saw that the sky was not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Sister Jenna and the American Meditating Radio Show are the key to peace, truth, beauty, and all that is good in the world, which is why I am a confirmed listener. This is Valerie Alexander, author of Happiness as a Second Language.
There's no place like home.
Getting home safely is just a click away. Find the right seat for your little one's age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat for more information. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Hello and welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museums in Tysons Corner, Virginia. And it was interesting, this morning we had a little gas leak scare. And last night we were sitting for World Meditation Hour, as we do, in 8,000 centers in 120 countries around the world. And I told one of my assistants, did you turn off all the candles last night? I mean, this was last night, okay, everyone? And I asked, are you sure all the candles are off? And she's like, yes, why are you seeing something? I went, well, there's a thought. And then this morning we heard about the gas leak. And so, purpose of me telling you the story, listen to those thoughts that seem so obscure, but come as a signal to you, ever so often, to keep you going and to keep you at least being in check with everything that's unfolding. We are instruments of power and courage and beauty and grace. And growing up has never been a very easy thing to do. I think there might be just 1 or 2% of us who could say being a teenager was just so easy to just breeze right through it. You know, those awkward feelings, just those insecure moments, and then worse, if you just seem to have a karmic issue with that boy or girl at school that just can't leave you alone and picks on you and continues to challenge your sense of worth and identity. And what do you know of yourself at 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17? What do you know of yourself? But it always amazes me how no one ever actually attacks a bully, for example, who is picking on someone else that is either smaller or just less secure. Stay tuned. We're going to be talking to Jill Vandervoet, who's an expert on children's and young adults' issues of bullying, and she's also an award-winning author. For meanwhile, I'd like to just ask you to take it easy, breathe in, as we do what we do best here on the America Meditating Radio. Our met is to meditate and to find just a little space within our own beings to connect from my off the grid into the heart and joy. In this meditation, I invite you to become aware of the two types of consciousness that reside within the soul. Let us choose the consciousness of light over the darkness of past stories, the history that gets into our way. Let us now remember our connection to the supreme energy, the supreme soul, the being of light. For far too long, we have allowed the external forces to dictate our inner force. And at this time, I choose to get off the grid and step inside the heart to be myself. I choose to no longer be under the influence of what the world tells me, what my parents have told me, my spouse, friends, or anyone who has been a negative influence in my life. In this meditation, I stand strong in the original, eternal, imperishable worth of the soul. I, the being of light, the soul of power, I step into the heart and I become a being of love, a being of light and goodness. Beautiful song by Lucinda Drayton, If I Had One Wish. Can you imagine if you had one wish, what would you use that wish for? That everyone would live in harmony and peace? I think I do use mine for that. My dear friends, Jill Vandervoort is an expert on children's and young adults' issues of bullying and an award-winning author. Jill has interviewed children and celebrities as well as experts on bullying, including authors, psychologists, and juvenile court judge. Jill teaches writing and marketing workshops and speaks at writers' conferences to business groups and in college courses with 8 books. Jill has authored or co-authored. Her newest book is entitled Erase the Problem of Bullying, and today we're really happy to welcome Jill on the air. Welcome, Jill.
Thanks, Jenna. I'm glad to be here.
Oh, I'm glad that you're doing the work that you're doing. I remembered once when I was in my younger days, there was one girl in school who just had it out for me. And I guess I might have been just blessed with just being silly. But I remembered when she took me out, you know, to beat me up. And I went, okay, just start. Just start hitting and make yourself feel great. And let's get this over with. And it just got her in such a space that she wasn't able to do anything. But not all cases are like that in terms of individuals who just have karmas with us and just seem to find their sense of identity and strength in putting down somebody else, especially in an audience or in a crowd. I'm curious to find out, what was it that got you on this particular topic of bullying? Because it is really important, and we really want to talk about your book called Erase the Problem of Bullying.
Well, I was bullied when I was in the 5th grade, and every boy in my class decided to pick on me because I told on one of their friends. And there were more girls in my class than there were boys. So the girls elected me as class president. And when I got up to call the class to order, the boys were booing and jeering at me and making comments. And I just said, I resign, and I sat down. And then they were happy because the boys' candidate got to be the president. And this went on through that year. And one boy even brought a gas mask to school because his friend had to sit next to me in class. I was bullied so much, and then it even continued a little bit into high school, but most of it was in that year. And then when I found out that one of my granddaughters was really being bullied, we talked about it, and she wanted me to write this book to help kids to know what it was like to be bullied and to figure out what is causing it and that sort of thing. So I was going to write it with her, but then she didn't want the information out about her, so we didn't include her name or anything in the book.
I understand that, and it's painful because it sometimes communicates, I'm speaking the truth and something good, and this ends up ganging up against me, and I'm not quite sure how much the administration or the school administrators actually stepped in to say this is enough of that. Let me talk about the book. Congratulations, by the way. Erase the Problem of Bullying. Even though your granddaughter wasn't willing to expound more on what she's been going through, what are some of the things that our listeners can find in this book that could help them or help their children that's going through something similar?
They can find stories of kids who have been bullied and adults who were bullied as kids and how they dealt with it and how they became successful even after being bullied, and interviews with celebrities who were bullied and became celebrities in spite of it. And then there's information from different experts, like you said, the juvenile court judge, and there's the man that wrote, his name is Izzy Coleman, and he wrote a book called Bullies to Buddies, and he tells kids how to make friends out of your bully. And how to diffuse, like you did early on, you diffuse that bully because you took that power away. Go ahead and get it over with, you know. And they teach how to talk to the bully and how to get them to not want to bully you anymore.
Wow. So let's examine the whole psychological thing behind a person who is driven by the act of bullying another. I know that many people say they are coming from a family or an environment of being abused or bullied. And I get that, and that can be very painful, especially if there's no one to talk to. But when that behavior, you know, of bullying becomes bigger than just teasing others, could you explain to us what really are the semantics that are going on in the awareness of a young man or woman who is playing this part of bullying and terrorizing sometimes a whole school.
I talked to some bullies who had wanted to tell their story. So there was a girl who was the bully because things weren't good at home, and her parents had gone through divorce, and she was given to her father. The mother didn't want to pay child support, and she had a new stepmother, and they wouldn't let her dress in fashionable clothing, and she felt like she was going to be picked on. So instead, she became kind of a clown and would pick on other kids. And she said it was all because of the things that were going on at home, and she felt really terrible later in life because of it. And her path didn't lead to a good life at first. She decided that she was going to go and get pregnant and start a family early, and all these things happened to her, and they weren't good until she decided to change her life, and now she's helping other people, and she's trying to help other people understand about bullies. I also interviewed a prisoner, and he said that jail is full of bullies, and he told about how he became a bully because his parents, his mother was raising him alone, and he didn't have anyone to play sports with, so he started playing with the kids on the street who were in gangs and different things, and they taught him things like, you can take whatever you want because you're black and they're white and they have more than you, so you deserve this. And he said that he saw so many people that went to prison because they had decided that they could take whatever they wanted, and they were all bullies, and it didn't lead them to a good life.
I bet it didn't. I don't know what the statistics must be for youths who were bullying other youths in schools and how life actually unfolded for them. I can't imagine it was always the best unless they had a turnaround aspect. You know, acts of violence and aggression are often the cry. You know, there's a need for attention and help. Based on your research, what often leads someone to becoming a bully apart from, you know, they were bullied or whatever? But maybe let me redo the question. How can we begin to model more love for those that are in this particular state?
Well, talking to other people who were bullied, they said that they found, going back into their high school, they found that the person who bullied them had not had a good life after high school. Maybe they were popular during high school, but that's all they had. And after school, they went to dead-end jobs. They didn't have good marriages. They didn't have good things going for them. And they went back and forgave these people. They didn't necessarily have to talk to them about it, because they saw that their lives hadn't gone well, and the person who was bullied, their life went well, so they didn't have to go back and say, look what you did to me in high school.
Yeah, that makes sense. That almost sounds like a narrative that we could really begin to explain, that if you're a bully, you really end up nowhere. I don't know if that makes any sense or if that's helpful, but sounds more like that. There's a lot of cyberbullying going on, and it's taking place now behind a computer screen. How prevalent is cyberbullying, and what can we do to stop this now type of behavior that has emerged due to internet?
I'm not sure that there's any way to stop it, because they're behind the screen, and often you don't even know who is doing it to you. But you can take yourself away from the situation if you're being cyberbullied. You don't have to read every comment that they say. And sometimes parents don't know that the kids are connected to a lot more sites than they think they are. So they think that things are going well by monitoring their Facebook, for instance. But there are a lot of other ways to be connected. And some reason the kids are drawn to their computers and their phones, so they're reading all these comments. And sometimes somebody will decide to say something really negative, and then a lot of other kids will come in and say the same thing to them. Mm-hmm. So they can't really get away from that unless they disconnect for a while.
Mm-hmm. The National Center for Education Statistics reports that an adult was notified in less than half of bully incidents and in approximately only 40% of the cases. Now, children are often reluctant to tell their parents, much as adults. Why is that? And what are some steps that we can take if they are being bullied? It's such a scary period, and you almost feel like you're alone because even your friends don't step in to help you. You know, and so what do we do? What do we do? I once came up with a thought that you should write, all the schools should do a campaign on bullying, that bullies are lame, or you know how they do the languaging, that if you're a bully, you're something like negative or something, or this is it. I remembered now. If you're a bully, that means your parents are bullying you at home. And then just even the bully seeing that would, I feel like, psychologically just make them go, I'm not about to show that up. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I felt like the cure was that simple at one point.
I don't think the cure is that simple, but I'm thinking a lot of schools in my area have signs out front that say anti-bullying, we don't accept any bullying in this school, and I've seen a lot of that. And sometimes there's a zero tolerance for bullying, and every school has an anti-bullying policy. So I think that the kids and their parents should find out what that policy is. There is also a state policy on bullying, so you can find out what that is. And then there's also cyberbullying. I know that the state of Utah has a rule against cyberbullying, and it tells exactly what they tolerate. So actually the person who's doing the cyberbullying is breaking the law in most states.
Oh, that's a good one. I didn't know that. That's a very good one. That's fantastic. Wow. Well, we've spoken about some of the outcomes of bullying. How is it now for you in terms of all the stuff that you have been doing around it? Have you seen that it has been making an impact? And are we getting closer, Jill, to erasing the problem of bullying?
I think that it's something everybody's aware of, and there's a lot of talk about it. And I think especially prevalent in the gay community, that some of the kids have even committed suicide. So there's a lot of awareness going on. And right now, I think that everyone knows what bullying is. When I was in school, they didn't even have a name for it. And when I talked to my parents about it, they just told me to just get along, and that's about it. And so I never went to them again. So it might have to do with how the parents and teachers react.
Right, right. Intense. Jill, thank you so much for the work that you're doing. I'd love for our listeners to be able to find out how they can get a copy of Erase the Problem of Bullying and information on what you are involved with, if there's anything going on for you lately.
Okay, I'm on the web, and my website is Jill Vanderwood, VanderWood.com, JillVanderwood.com. And my book is available at BarnesandNoble.com and Amazon.com and through Kindle and Nook, I think, too.
Oh, wonderful, Jill. Jill, thank you so much, and we're wishing you all the greatest of success for this book and waiting for many more to come.
Thank you very much.
Take care, Jill. Bye-bye.
Bye.
So what are we going to do to help our little brothers and sisters and friends in schools? But even when we grow older, you might end up with a spouse that is a bully. I mean, they just are. You don't even have to be a man to be a bully nowadays. Just anyone who's just so discontented on the inside that it just can't stay there anymore. So to all of you who are listening who might be sort of playing that role, please, I, Sister Jenna, I'm calling upon your power of goodness, that you're believing that life is supposed to be bigger than the way that you're living it, that inside of you, you've got the courage to change the cycle and the pattern of pain that you've possibly endured. And you know what would be very powerful? You could actually write a note or something and just put it on the board at school and tell everyone, sorry that I bullied you, you know, forgive me, and keep moving on and make your life into something special. It sounds simple. And I know it's a struggle within your being, but you've got this, and you can do it. And even if one of you listening on the air can actually overcome this tendency of being aggressive with another person, whether it's mental, physical, whether it's on the internet, you got this. You can do it. Hey, thank you so much for joining us on the air, and I hope you enjoyed Jill Vandervoort. Please get her book, Erase the Problem of Bullying. Remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same, so please let's keep doing that more and more. Download the Pause for Peace app, which was done by one of our youth. So, of course, we're completely supporting the work that he's been doing, and he was bullied. And he also overcame that himself. So just be nice to one another. What more do you have to do with yourself? Ending today's show with Sanatam Kaur on Adiya. Take good care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Yan ki gare